I be young black and Australian. I be, you've seen and you've heard of them. They go wala when they see us, so wala when they see us, so I don't take blame, education, no.
Yo, this is EKD.
But my Louis, man, you already know what it is.
Hey, you already know what time it is. This is episode 39, man. Can you believe how far we've come? We've done 39 episodes, man. That is crazy.
Do you remember when you called me and you wanted to...
I wanted to quit. Yeah, I wanted to quit, man, because I was like, man, listen, this is not...
I knew you weren't serious. It was a moment.
How come every time I say I want to quit, people don't take me seriously?
Who else is going to take you seriously?
Like, everyone I tell, because
I know how passionate you are about this.
But I'm passionate about everything.
Yeah, but it's like, this is something that you do as a hobby, but you're very passionate about.
I'm passionate about everything.
No, but I feel like you're more passionate about this.
Yeah, that's because this is the only thing you see.
I think this is something that, like, this is your hobby. Like, you're not just like someone else that likes rapping or someone that just like DJing and they're very passionate about it. This is what you.
I don't even think this is my hobby. People find it so hard to believe when I say that. When this podcast first started,
it wasn't
my idea to start a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. It came up to me and said, hey, someone came up to me and said, hey, let's start a podcast and forgot about it. Yeah. Okay. Person that I am as a person, when you say, let's do something, I was like, what the hell? Why aren't we doing it? So I would literally finish work and call the guy and bring him to the library and record the podcast and we recorded like 4 or 5 episodes beforehand, then we dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that, like, I was sitting at home and saying, I want to start a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's an idea that came upon to me, and once I get hold of the idea, I just feel like we needed to do something about it, and then we kept going and going and going. And now it's like an idea became a habit, and a habit became something that, like, I just want to see this thing be successful, you know. And my end goal of this podcast, surprisingly, will be that I'm not here talking, like I'm somewhere else. I'm behind the scenes, and there are other different personalities creating your own podcast and your own platform under a network. Yeah. That would be my main agenda. Yeah. So I've never been this guy that wanted to be like a creative or quote unquote a creative. Yeah, is that what they call it?
I guess.
I screamed on there. I don't know what episode that was screaming. We're back in Clothing Rusty, that episode. When I was screaming, I'm a 9-to-5 guy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to, like, I've never wanted to be.
When I say you're passionate about this, I'm not talking about, like, you think about this every day. No, I just feel like this is something that gives you it's just something that you enjoy doing.
No, it's something that I want to see. I've started and I want to see it be successful.
Yeah, but, like, I would say you enjoy doing it.
Of course, I enjoy coming here, meeting new people, and having a conversation with people and seeing how they think and stuff like that.
When you called me, and I knew it was a moment thing. Obviously. I had to, like, keep you on the phone for like an hour, like, try to tell you that, yo, Charlie, like, this is not the best rap. Like, quitting is not the best rap. But look at it right now, man. Like, and that was 4 episodes.
4 episodes ago. Yeah,
behind.
Yeah,
that's when you called me and you're talking about how you don't see this thing going too far and stuff like
that. It's not even that I didn't see this thing going too far, because at the end of the day, a lot of people listen to the podcast. So I reevaluated myself and saw myself as, what are the things in my life that are really important to me? And I don't think the podcast was that important to me.
Okay. You know?
So I didn't want something that's not that important to me to be taken away half of my life.
Okay.
So that's what I was saying to you, that if I can get people that can help me with this podcast, then I'm happy to continue going. But I don't want to every single day be working on something that's not that important to me, because my career and my job and my role and working my way up is what is important to me. That's my main focus in life.
Yeah.
If this is a hobby, I don't want it to be taken so much of my time in life where I can be going out and enjoying my life and doing other things as well. 100%. So that was my perspective on it. But in saying that, where do you see this podcast going? What is your vision for this podcast?
Just like you said before, this podcast becoming a network or a platform help other people to get their voice out there, and also a platform for people to also showcase their talent in regards to podcasts, because we're just going to be dealing with things that are podcast related.
Yeah.
That's my goal and my vision for this podcast and this how far I can see it going. For it becoming a network with other people being on board.
There are people that are smarter than me, funnier than me, cooler than me.
But not even from that perspective, it's like, okay, cool, the Aussie GH boys, we can have a platform for other things that when other people come on that platform, they wouldn't be specifically looking for the Aussie GH boys, but there'll be other things.
Yeah, there'll be other podcasts available for other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's my end goal for this whole thing, is to create a network where we have dedicated people that have started their own podcast under the Aussie Black Culture Network, and they're happy to speak about things. Because there's so many women topics that we can speak about, but what is better than having a black woman speak about those topics themselves and their experience for other black women to experience? You know, and what is the difference between for other black men talking about certain things for young kids growing up to listen to and learn something from it? So that is my end goal, and I've become very obsessively passionate about it.
And I would say, like, you came up with the idea of this being a network.
Yeah.
Because obviously this whole thing being a podcast for just specifically GH boys, I don't see the direction of it.
Yeah.
But then if it turns into a network, then I see the direction of it. If you have other people on board and other people with like good content and podcasts and stuff like that,
100%. Great. And I will slowly fade away into the sunset.
Yeah.
You know, and I just
But we still need you for the
My job is done when I'm no longer on this podcast when I'm no longer needed here for it to run. That's how I classify success. When it can be run without you. And you can be like, look, I set this, I started this, we put a lot of time and effort into it. Today it's being run, and there's a lot of black voices in Australia, because Australia doesn't really have a black voice, you know. There's a lot of people that started, but they quit the next day. So for us to, that's one thing that actually motivates me as well, is the fact that there's a lot of podcasts that started when we started, and today they're no longer there, you know. So that motivates me as well, in the sense that I'm not motivated by people sharing it. I'm not motivated by being popular. That's what makes me be able to continue this without it. But my main focus is always about how can we slowly build this into something that can help other people. And if we're able to help other people, then I feel like we've done our job as an Aussie GH Boys podcast. Is there anyone you want to shout out since we're on episode 39?
I mean, there's a whole bunch. Like, I don't have a list.
I have a guest list. Shout out to Cindy.
I would say I wasn't prepared, but you go ahead.
Shout out to Cindy. Shout out to Clinton. Shout out to Pongo. Shout out to Kobe. Shout out to Ajua, aka Aj. Shout out to Frederica, Mrs. Birkin. Shout out to Shayla. Shout out to Mike, aka Mr. White Boy. These are our guests we shouted out, but I also want to shout out our listeners as well. I didn't have a list for our listeners, but Juwen, I said the name right.
Shout out Juwen.
Shout out to Gillian. Shout out to the twins, F1 and Penny. Shout out to, man, I forgot so many names. Michael. Shout out to every single person that listened to our podcast. And I know there's a whole lot of you guys, and I wish I could shout you guys all out, but you guys are the main people that keep us going. Because if you guys don't enjoy it, I'm sure, you know, we'll be out of here.
Chaplin's been on a couple of episodes.
Oh, shout out to Chaplin as well.
So shout out to Chaplin. Shout out to Esther.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jennifer. She listens. And,
why you say she listens? Because like,
give me that look.
She's in a podcast.
She's like, I listen to the podcast. Shout out to everyone that's a fan of the podcast, man. Like, we don't have, like, I don't have a list over here. So as time goes on, maybe someone's name comes up in my head, I'll give him a shout out. But yeah, definitely shout out to all these guys, man. Like,
And guys, feel free to also give us feedback or send us. If you don't enjoy the episode, let us know. If you enjoy the episode, let us know. Feel free to give us any form of feedback. We feel like every type of feedback is a form of growth. And we'll take it on board and find a way to fix it.
The way we're talking about, like, a shadow, it seems like we're kind of, like, about to quit.
Yeah, but you never know, right? You never know. Nah. The only reason why I'm saying this is I want to get this out of the way so we don't have to do this stuff on episode 40.
Okay.
You
have any plans for 40?
Not yet, but, like, if we want to actually do something...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want that to be the main focus. I don't want to come in. Today is a perfect time. We have no guests. Yeah. It's just me and you. So we can spend time just letting people know what's going on behind the scenes of the podcast, what we're planning to do and stuff like that as well. Yeah.
And also, like, based on the lockdown, we had communicated with people that we wanted on today. But based on the lockdown and the restrictions.
That's what I would always say to you. Like, if you can't do a podcast without the main guest, there's no point in having a show.
Okay.
Because you don't always want to have to run around looking for people to come and talk. No, we don't need that. We need to find a way to build our own foundation where even when there's no one here, at least we can still create an episode without anyone here. Because there are going to be times like this where we don't have anyone. But then what we have, and this is the great thing, we have our core people that listen to the podcast and genuinely enjoy it regardless. Mm-hmm. So we can grow from there. Yes. But another thing I wanted to shout out is I want to shout out to Manu Crooks for not suing us. We use his songs every single time.
Shout out to Manu.
But do you know the song I was listening to today? Song you put out for the Aussie Tunes playlist.
Which one?
Undefeated.
Oh yeah. So shout out to my boy Solo Chulo, bro. I saw the vision way before everyone.
Did not see the vision, bro. Where are you?
I saw the vision way before everyone, bro. It's cool.
Undefeated.
Everyone can hop on the bandwagon now, but it's cool.
Hey, man, Ozzy G is supposed to be undefeated, baby. But that song was a vibe. I was listening to that song. I'm like, undefeated.
Wait, shout out to Solo, bro. That's my boy.
And another person I'm shouting out. Hey, do you know it was his birthday yesterday? Whiskey, baby. Hey, shout out to Whiskey.
Okay,
man.
Okay, wait, that's his 31st birthday.
What's the obsession with Whiskey, man?
Yeah, he makes great music.
Yeah, is that the only thing that, like...
100%. You know, today I was blasting all his songs on my play. I have a Whiskey playlist, by the way. I was blasting his songs all morning.
Remember last time you were getting mad because he's not dropping new shit?
Yeah. But the thing is... The guy was scared. You know what happened? When he dropped Made in Lagos, yeah, initially people didn't really gravitate towards that album.
Yeah.
So he was like part two on the way. But then after time, people started loving the album, and then now he's not doing any part two, man. So but I was blasting his album all day, and to a point where some of my neighbors came and knocked on my door saying that like I was making too much noise.
Oh yeah, something I can relate to.
Weren't you here when my neighbor came fucking banging on the door talking about turning the music down?
Yeah, but you live in a house. I think that's an issue.
Yeah, well, I think it's just being a little sick.
Yeah, but to me, bro, like for me, like they've been like bothering me so much to an extent that they've put like notices in the lift and everywhere saying that, hey guys.
How loud do you play?
It's not that loud, but it's an apartment.
Mm.
So like when they put the notice in the lift, I waited, I read on it like, how about you go buy a house? Because how are you living in an apartment and you're complaining about noise happening? Yeah. And the guy's underneath me.
Yeah.
So no matter how much I play the music, he's going to hear it.
That's my problem with apartments and living in apartments. Yeah. I feel like you're just too close to people and they just feel obligated to say anything there.
But then move to a house or something, you know? But that's another thing I wanted to ask you. When was the last time you pulled out your race card, your black card? Because I did it, man.
I use it all the time.
I'm so quick to pull out a black card.
I mean, when I play loud music and like the neighbor comes down, I'm black.
I was saying... The neighbor sent me, the strata people sent me a letter about, man, too much noise, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is very racist of you guys to think that a black man owning a property is making so much noise. I was like, there's no way I'm making that much. It's supposed to be.
I pulled a race card on the time when I was looking for a place before we moved in here. And we didn't get initially the first place we were going to move into.
Yeah.
We didn't get the place.
Yeah.
And we blamed it on racism.
Yeah, black people borderline, low key, we tend to love blaming things on race.
Hey man,
we tend to blame everything on fucking racism.
But why is that?
Huh? Why is that? Because we're the minority.
But so I couldn't work with an Indian, man.
No. They're doing well. Indians are doing well. I couldn't wait to tag. I wish I had my letter here, bro. I was like, you racist motherfuckers. How dare you tell me I'm playing loud music at 3 a.m. when I go to bed at 10 p.m.? This seems like racism to me. To a point where the guy apologized to me and said, you know what? I'm sorry. What I'm going to do is we're going to send out letters to the whole building and find out who's making the noise and everything.
Yeah.
And even when they did that, I still went and wrote that, hey, man, how about you do it?
You know the one that makes me cringe?
Which one?
It's like you're spinning and then you get the point. You're like, you pull me over because I'm black, but you're spinning.
Remember parties where people used to start fights and then the cops would pull up? The cops would pull up and everyone like, the cops are racist. The cops, no, nigga, just how about you stop fighting? How about you put your fist down? So yeah, those were the things that were
I feel like it's sometimes I think we're overdoing it now. It's like every little thing we just pull the race card.
Yeah, bro.
It's because I'm black.
But I love to do it.
You know, when the bar is about to close.
Yeah. And then
you know, I'm black.
You know, but white people do tend to be racist. So I don't want that to be wrong. Yeah, I don't want to take it out of context.
But sometimes, though, like, you know, so, we drag it.
Sometimes I know I'm damn well guilty for this. I know I'm guilty for this mess. I know it in my heart I'm guilty. But as soon as, like, a manager can't even talk to me. Because if they talk to me too long, I'm going to pull out the rest of my head. I'm going to be like, yo, like, you seem to be picking on just me. How about everyone else? Because I'm black? Yeah. You know? But anyways, that's what I was bringing it down to. Actually, no, I'm not down with Wizkid. I want to shout out to Wizkid for taking Nigeria to new heights. Did you watch the Nigerian versus USA game?
Yeah.
Are you happy the Nigeria won? Or do you want Ghana to have their own team?
I don't know why Ghana doesn't have their own team by now, but I saw someone put in the comment section on Facebook.
Yeah.
Under, like, the video highlights. And the guy was pretty much just saying that, like, the... You know, those times of, like, you know, Team USA being, like, the superior team and winning all the time, it's about to be over now.
Yeah.
Because the whole world is changing.
And we're catching up.
Yeah, we're catching up.
Yeah. Like, Steven Jackson, he's a basketball player who's retired recently.
Yep.
He played in the San Antonio Spurs for 8 years. Recently said something about the Olympics where he said that black people should boycott the Olympics on the sole basis of the fact that America as a country doesn't seem to love them.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't participate in the Olympics.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Just Americans, not African Americans. Just, I mean, not like the ones that were born in Africa and migrated to America. Just Americans. What do you think about them not participating in the Olympics and representing the USA and the flag and everything when it doesn't seem like America as a whole has really taken them in?
So he's telling those players to...
But not participate in the Olympics. And take into account Shia Richardson, the runner as well, who wasn't allowed to run because she was making weed, even though those are the rules.
Uh-huh.
Take all that into consideration. Do you think that black athletes in America shouldn't represent the country because their country doesn't love them?
Is this not the same situation that's been happening all along?
Yeah.
In regards to black athletes always having problems with their country and them not accepting them from being who they are.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying this is not something that's new. And if they shouldn't play for the Olympics, then who else should they play for?
They cannot participate. But okay, so let's just say take instance for Damian Lillard, who earns like $100 million a year playing for the Portland Trail Blazers. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to participate in the U.S. Olympics.
Yeah.
Because he is already a self-made man.
Yeah.
So what Steven Jackson was saying was that these athletes that it seems like the white corporate America and the white government only appreciates them when they're representing their country and they're winning,
mm-hmm.
you know, shows love to them. But when it comes to their kids or their cousins or whatever being shot on the streets and everything else, there aren't rules or anything put in place to protect these black people. So he's saying that if this country doesn't love us, why are we constantly under the flag representing this country?
I think they should.
They should?
Yeah. And the reason for me, the reason why I'm saying this shit is they can use the opportunity to share, like, you know, awareness on things that are happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this hasn't happened before. It's happened so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Colin
Kaepernick.
Yeah. Thanks for helping me with that.
Yeah.
He ended up losing his job.
Yeah.
And it reflected after a year.
Perfect example. Yeah. He lost his job.
Yeah.
And he wasn't representing America, but he lost his job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So how are these black athletes so happy to represent a country or even in the military, let's just say, when the country doesn't seem to respect you as a human being?
Yeah, but this is not a new thing.
So, but if it's not a new thing, shouldn't there be ways to answer and create results?
So how come this way, like some term can say is that like, this has been happening for years.
Yeah.
Okay, since the 90s. Okay.
Yeah.
How come nothing has been done since then? Now.
So but do you think that maybe if athletes and like black people start doing certain things like this and taking a stand, things might change in America?
But the only thing is that as a collective, okay, not all the players are going to be on board because certain players are getting privileges and advantages of being, you know, part of the team.
Yeah.
Some players aren't.
Yeah.
So is everyone going to be on board to boycott or to stand against all these things that are happening? Not everyone. With the Colin Kaepernick thing, people were kneeling down. Some people weren't. And there were black players that weren't kneeling down as well. And they had their own personal
reasons. But don't you think that's the issue?
It was the issue. Like,
the issue is that black people were so quick for our own personal gain that we forget the mission.
That's
so that's what Steven Jackson is saying, that black people in America Because most of the time, black people in America are known for being athletes. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they will respect a black person in America is he's probably an athlete or a rapper or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So if you had this opportunity to not represent the country mm-hmm. and to take a stance to show them that, hey, we need to be respected, otherwise we're not going to do this and this and that. I think it should be done. I think black people in America, American black people, shouldn't participate in Olympic, especially if it doesn't do anything for you. Like, if you're already a made man, you're already racial, blah, blah, blah. I think the little things like this are a stance.
But not everyone is not going to participate.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because these little things should be a stance of you showing unity and a stance of you saying, being taken seriously. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think America is going to change if athletes and rappers yeah. and those yeah. people don't take yeah. a step. Because those are the ones that I've
yeah.
seen higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, but I keep relating this to Colin Kaepernick. Is like, when he lost his job, no one else wants to lose their job.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No one wants to, because they have families to feed.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So how can they, you know, participate, put themselves together and stand against this if you're going to lose your job?
Exactly.
That's how you're going to feed your family. So what's the best way to go about it?
The best way to go about it is people will have to be willing to sacrifice their life for a better America. That's it.
Okay, so what's the kind of sacrifice that they have to do?
It's just finances. But that's what I'm trying to say, that how much finances, listen to this, yeah? Someone like Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, they're all like on $100 million. Mm-hmm. They're not, it's not like they're going to go broke. No, they don't even, might not even get paid for the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not necessary to participate. So I feel like, if you're not getting paid for Olympics, one, you already make money playing for your own country.
But if you get
Colin Kaepernick played for an actual, he wasn't representing America.
Yeah.
He played for an actual team that affected his pockets.
Yeah.
But Team USA is not going to affect his pockets.
Nah, but then if Team USA actually come play for the team, that's pretty much asking you to come represent your country. If you say no, I think it might probably come with
something. No, they won't, because they have guaranteed contracts. All these NBA players that are representing.
It's like, okay, so let's say Kevin Durant is in the NBA and he's in the army.
Yeah.
And let's say there's a war.
Yeah.
He has to go to war.
No, he doesn't.
He has to go, if he's in the army.
But he's not in the army.
No, but I'm just giving you a scenario. Like,
I get what you're trying to say, but the Olympics is a choice.
Okay, so the army is not.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So the Olympics is a choice. So if it's a choice, I don't genuinely think that Kevin Durant and all these players should go. They should use this as a form of a stance to make sure that they at least make sure that this is creating a stance for their country.
Yeah, for me, I think it's a personal gain and it's an individual.
But they don't gain much because they don't get paid in the Olympics.
Yeah.
They might get sponsors or the other world might see them.
Yeah.
But if you take the Olympics
that's
away.
But that's not every player. That you mentioned the most earned players.
Yeah.
Some of the players don't earn those.
But they're not on the Olympics. They only got the top players in America. For America, first per se.
Yeah,
they only got the top players.
Yeah, yeah.
And the top players all have guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you think black people can all come together and stand against one thing without one black person saying, nah, I don't stand for that?
I think it's impossible.
I think it's impossible.
Because everyone has a brain of their own.
Yeah.
And which brings me back to an example again, talking about what Steven Jackson said about black people or not. Boycotting the Olympics. We can give you a great example of the Euro Cup with England and Italy.
Yeah.
Did you watch that game?
I saw the highlights.
I didn't even watch it. I'm not a big soccer fan. I feel like soccer for me is boring,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, a lot of people that watch soccer always have something to say about basketball. So
the reason why you think it's boring is the pace is not fast.
Yeah, and like it's all like
it takes a long time for a goal to score.
You never know who's winning until someone scores a goal. Like, why am I watching something for 90 minutes and you don't even know who's winning? It could be 0-0 for 90 minutes and then now you have to watch penalty kicks.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Channel 7 talking about the three black kids that missed the penalty?
I think that still goes into like the effect of racism. It's like, you know how Channel 7 wrote that headline?
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't think they were writing it to be racist. I just feel like racism is just something that, because a lot of people, they don't know when they're racist.
Mm.
So that's why when you see they wrote the headline and they had to edit it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the first time they wrote it, they probably didn't even know they were being racist.
Mm.
That's the thing about a lot of racist people. It's like when they're doing racist things, they don't know they're being racist. It's like a comment of like, when I went to Parkland Market with a friend of mine and we're trying to buy a carpet and the lady referred, she's like, oh, this carpet would be nice for your living room. I mean, it's black and it kind of looks like you.
Mm.
she's just been ignorant of the fact that what she just said was racist, but she doesn't fucking know it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that goes with Channel 7. It's like, racism has so much effect on us as humans that when people are being racist, they don't even know it.
I think they knew what they were doing.
So you think, so why would they come back and re-edit?
I think media and corporations find a way to keep themselves relevant by sometimes doing shady things to get attention.
Okay. So you're saying they were being
racist? They knew the reaction was going to come. Okay. And they knew that it might... bad publicity is any publicity. Someone has once said any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
So it was just... I just think that they knew... You writing three black kids when there's freaking a whole 11 players in the soccer team, you know what is going to come out of it.
Okay, so why would they re-edit it?
Because they got the attention they wanted. And isn't that what a lot of these celebrities do? They come out and say something so stupid and then come out and apologize.
Okay.
But they're still trending the news for the stupid.
I'm not saying I'm not saying that they didn't know what they were doing. I'm just saying that racism has caused so much effect on us as humans that when people are doing things, they don't even know they're being racist.
I feel like they knew that that was going to create a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they wanted that reaction.
Okay.
So it was more so wanting to create this sense of anger and everything just for them to apologize. Because the funny thing about it is, every time people do something, they come back and apologize. Everyone forgets about what they did.
Yeah.
And it's no longer a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know? But that also links back to the Steven Jackson comment where he said that black people shouldn't comment about the Olympics, because even the three black players that that represented England, they're all Africans descent. You know, the beauty about being African descent is, why don't you participate in the African Cup? Mm-hmm. You might bring the African Cup and make the African Cup more of a higher value. They're representing England, where now you play for England, and now England, like, you know, there are a lot of white
racist people. But the African Cup has disadvantages that wouldn't help the players. In terms of, like, if you're a player that's getting paid over $100 million a year, and you go play for your African country and you get injured, when you come back, how are you going to recover and play for the team that's paying you that
money? But that's the problem. I think that...
So I feel like someone would jeopardize that for that.
But that's the problem. There need to be some sort of jeopardy for people to be, for you to create a foundation of success.
Yes. As far as you can understand, maybe some people, some of them were maybe born in England and they don't even consider themselves African.
Like that's another problem. You know, this all links back to, I wish I brought Pomo to talk about Africa. No, this all links back to...
There's a lot of things that goes
into this. Yeah, it links back to, like, we always say that, okay, so you going to play for England and you missing penalties. Now, they were being racist to you and you were crying and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have participated and played for England.
Yeah.
They're playing for their... They thought they were doing the right thing by playing for England, But it seems like with white people, if you're successful, they love you. If you're failing, then you're black.
Yeah.
You know? So why not capitalize on the fact that you're a black man, you've been able to become a professional, represent African Cup and make African Cup as big as Euro Cup. Yeah. Is that not possible? I don't know enough to know that.
Yeah, that's definitely possible, but that goes back to when you told me how I asked you a question about, do you think everyone would be willing to achieve this goal? Every black person in England?
It takes courage to start from the bottom.
Yeah.
Like that also links back to Aussie black culture in general.
And also, I'm sorry to cut you off. And also, if that's the case, what are our African leaders doing about this to create something that would make these people want to leave the country that they're currently in to come play for them?
But once again, it takes courage to start from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to link that back to, like as I was saying, Australian black culture, where no one wants to start from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as something little pops off, everyone wants to attach themselves to that little thing that's popping up. 100%. No one wants to slowly build. And I think for an African country, a continent as big as Africa, we have enough talent, but because no one wants to start, like, it's not respectable to come go play for Ghana if you, like, let's say you play for Chelsea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not respectable to go play for Ghana if you play for Liverpool or a big thing. But why don't you take that sacrifice to make Ghana cool?
Yeah.
You know, I've never, like, I can take myself an example. I've never been interested in doing what everyone is doing to be seen as cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also interested in doing my own thing and watching my own thing be successful.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's nothing beautiful about you starting your own thing and building it up for it to be successful as opposed to jumping on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I understand that there's so many aspects that can go into this where you have, they were born in England, they don't even know much about their African background.
Mm-hmm.
They England is a bigger platform for them to be successful, whatever they mm-hmm. want to do in their life. Yeah. They probably will get paid more. It's a great exposure. There's so many things that makes it beneficial. But at the end of the day, when you do lose, you're still a nigger.
Yeah.
I suppose if you were to go for play for Ghana, you won't be seen as a nigger mm-hmm. if you do lose. But mm-hmm. if anything, you're building that African nation. You're building the economy, mm-hmm. one. You're letting Africa be the staple of soccer, mm-hmm. two. Mm-hmm. And we're able to, the world is able to come there and watch
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
You know what now, I mean?
I totally get what you're trying to say, but this is not something that can just be done by one person. And I feel like there's a lot that has to be done internally to make these things happen. It's not only the players.
Yeah, 100%.
From a perspective of like the leaders in Africa, or the people responsible for African football also have to create something that will be more welcoming of these guys.
And I can understand why black people or black players wouldn't be as enticed to play for any African team. No. Remember
Ghana?
Yeah, remember the Ghana team, how they didn't want to pay them the money?
Yeah.
And they didn't want to play. Like, yeah. Things like that is the reason why African players would rather go play for Germany yeah. or yeah. Italy or yeah. something like that.
When you're playing for these big, like, you know, clubs and stuff, like you're an asset.
Yeah.
So they have to protect you.
Yeah.
If you go injure yourself playing for your country in Africa and stuff like that, your country or the national team wouldn't take care of you
yeah.
as much as, let's say, if you're playing for Manchester United or you're playing for Chelsea. They put their money into this.
England puts their money into this yeah.
But African leaders, I don't think, or African, and I hate talking about African leaders all the time, because it seems
you like love it, always, you a Congo.
It seems like we're always pointing fingers at them and stuff yeah. like that. But yeah, we just don't have the infrastructure and the... we just don't have the things to make
the knowledge
and to create something conducive for this players to come and
we can say that Kevin Boateng came and played for Ghana.
Yeah, but you know, then
look at his experience.
He slapped one of the coaches
yeah, and left because of corruption, because of politics, because of all these things.
Exactly.
So I do understand it's playing on both sides.
Yeah.
He tried. Yeah.
And look, he had his two brothers. His brother yeah. decided to play for Germany yeah. and he wanted to play for Ghana.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he left Ghana.
And Germany ended up winning the World Cup. You know, so it's both sides where the players have to be willing to sacrifice yeah. and the yeah. leaders and the people in Africa also have to be able to create a platform that makes these people feel comfortable
exactly.
to want to be there.
Yes.
But have you realized Australia is a bit late in using black people to represent them?
I think they're doing it now.
Really? I don't think they're doing it at all.
In the Olympics now, there's a couple of black people in there.
A couple. Like, do you know how much talent there is?
Yeah, but that's when you remember when we posted a thing with Sydney Wanderers?
Yeah.
They're trying to work with the African community to see if they can recruit yeah. athletes and
there's
people.
There's so
like
many
that.
Talent
yeah.
in Australia.
I feel like they're a little bit late. I feel like there's a couple of countries that uses black people to their advantage.
Yes.
And
London, America.
America, France.
And London. In terms of overall, not just sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think the US sees color only when it's not beneficial to them.
Mm.
But if it's beneficial to them, they look past color. I think that's what I realized
about
the
US. That's
it
with every country.
Yeah, but I think Australia is not even giving black people a chance to shine. I don't think so. Like, I feel like you have to go to another country and become successful there.
Yeah, yeah.
Then when you come back, then you're seen as a different person.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how
I would say 10 years ago, like, Australia never really gave black people the platform to show their talent.
That's what I'm saying.
But I feel like now they do it.
It's slowly.
Yeah,
it's
slowly they're
but
doing
not
it.
As not as big as
yeah,
London
yeah,
and America
yeah,
and all those
yeah.
people.
Like,
yeah.
take, for example, you take the modeling industry.
Yeah.
Like, before 10 years ago, I don't think it was cool for... maybe black models to represent or to be like, oh, I'm from Australia.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now it's like the cool thing.
But then I also think they made it overseas first.
True.
I made it overseas first. If you have something that you don't know, you don't want to make good use of it. Someone from somewhere
yeah.
will come take it.
Go, it's like they go overseas.
And don't make good use of it.
And then they become big there
yeah.
and then they come back
yeah.
here. But anyway, speaking of Australia, man, how are you dealing with the lockout?
For me, I personally don't, like, it's not affecting me in any way. The only way to affect me is I don't have people coming over to, hang
yeah,
out.
Party boy. Vinny is the biggest party boy. Bro, yesterday he called me. He was like, yo, I'm going to have some few people in my house, man. A few things to come through. I'm like, bro, it's COVID.
I said four people.
Four people. Like, he's even social distancing with his party. I'm like, it's crazy.
When you come to my house, I'm going to give you a mask at the front before you walk.
No, you're not, bro.
Because we're trying to maintain. I mean,
so it's called party COVID. COVID party.
No, I'm not doing a party, bro. Every time I call you and I was like, let's do something together, you call it a party.
Bro, it always feels like a party to me.
Gideon does the same thing, too. Don't worry.
It feels like a party to me. But for me, how I'm dealing with COVID is I actually don't like work. I think the only thing that's affecting me is I don't like working from home.
Okay.
Because I don't feel productive being at home.
I never work from home. You can attest from that. I used to, but yeah. I'm always at the office. That's why I'm saying that the COVID is not affecting me because I'm still doing the same thing I'm don't doing. I wake up and go to work.
What about your parties? Like, how are you going to do parties?
Bro, I'm not a party boy like the way you guys think.
Oh, shut up, man. You are a party boy, bro. But I feel the lockout is over. Do you plan on taking the vaccine?
I think it's a decision like I'm going to make in a moment.
In the moment?
Like, if I'm in the moment.
Oh, okay. Like, if they say I can't travel, then I might take the vaccine. Yeah. But if they're telling me that if I'm going to stay in Australia, I'm not going to take the vaccine.
Yeah. I'll only take the vaccine if it's compulsory for everyone to take it.
I wouldn't take it until... I'll probably be one of the few last people to take
it. But then if it's compulsory, you have to take
it. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to still be the last person to take it. But you know there are people dying from the vaccine that the media is not reporting?
I heard. So what is... Like, oh man.
I just want to say that I think COVID is real. I think the lockdown is actually beneficial in preventing people from going out there. Yeah. But I also think that there are some things. Companies and there are things behind it where they're using this COVID thing to take advantage
100%.
Of it. Yeah, because I think it's too quick to come up with a vaccine. Vaccines, it's not that quick to come up with a vaccine.
Mm.
And I was listening to this guy, Ricardo, whatever, Bozy or whatever his name is. And he was talking about how the inventor of the COVID test himself has said that that is the wrong way to take care of COVID. Like, that's the wrong way for COVID to be tested. And he's talked about how pharmaceutical companies are using COVID as a way to manage their wealth as well.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about how they control the media and everything else. It's a conspiracy theory, but at the end of the day, I'm going to do my research. And I'll probably be one of the last people to even think about taking the vaccine.
I'm stuck in the middle of it being a conspiracy theory or it being real.
Yeah.
I feel like it's real, but the conspiracy theories they make sense.
Two things can be true.
Yeah.
Two things
they
can
make
be
sense.
True.
That's like, all I'm going to say.
Two things can always be true. There's no right or wrong answer. Yeah. There's no this is wrong. It could be both of them are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And this was a perfect opportunity for them to use this thing to profit. And it happens all the time.
The thing is like, obviously, COVID started in 2019. That's why it's called COVID-19.
Yeah.
We're heading to 2 years.
I didn't even remember how it was before COVID. I swear to God, like, I'm
sure. Now, you know, we woke up one day and they're like, there's a pandemic.
Yeah.
It's called COVID-19.
And it hasn't stopped since.
Yeah. So,
I just feel like it's something that it's creating this crazy world that we live in where I want to go back to Ghana or something. I want to go back to Africa. You know,
I wouldn't want to travel anywhere until this thing is completely done.
I would want to travel to Africa.
This is what might happen. Okay, but there is freedom and stuff like that. But how are you going to come back? Like, what if you're coming
back? I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back until this whole thing is sorted out.
So, how are you going to be working?
I don't care about work. I think I've saved enough money and done enough things for me to live in Africa. Yeah, live in Ghana until this thing is over. Because I feel like...
One thing you have to understand is that if this COVID thing hits... the African country that you're going to be in or Ghana, the measures that are going to be in place to be under control wouldn't be like the way it would be over here.
But I'm not going to Ghana for the measures. I'm going to Ghana to have a little bit of freedom because I can guarantee you for a fact that you'll be more forced to take a vaccine here than to take a vaccine in Ghana. If I go to Ghana, I'll sell my property. I will quit my job and I'll go live there forever. If COVID is going to last forever and vaccines are compulsory, 100% I'll do that. Because I'm going for freedom. I'm not going to be controlled. What's the point of living in an environment where you have to be controlled?
Okay.
I don't want to live in an environment that has to be controlled by everything that I'm doing and make me take something that I don't want to take. So for me, 100%, if COVID is real and all these things are happening, I'd rather be in Africa where I have freedom to do whatever and enjoy life.
Yeah.
The meaning of life is for it to be enjoyed, not to be locked down, running away from death. But that's Australia. I think Australia is the only one being external.
London is still locked down.
Not really. Okay. But London, you can still fly out and still do certain things. Okay. That the airports are still
open. There's a country, I don't know if it's Indonesia, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're treating the whole COVID thing as a flu now.
like a normal.
It is a flu.
Yeah, no, but like they
treating, the flu kills more people.
Nah, but they're treating it like, and you can do whatever you want. Yeah. Like just live your life and shit like that. But this is a flu same thing, and like that's how they're dealing with it.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's effing up the economy. Like it's effing up the economy. Like, what would you rather be, broke and living, or that's what a question I want to ask. If everyone in this world was dying, would you want to survive? Like, I don't see the point of everyone dying and I'm running away to survive. Like, I honestly don't see the point.
So you want to die?
Let me, bro. Like, what am I surviving for? To stay in this place by myself? Like, I am legend, I'm Will Smith. Like, I would literally die. I don't see the point in being scared of death. Mm. I actually don't see the point in being scared of death because it's going to happen.
I don't think it's I don't think it's being scared of death. I think it's how you die. I feel like the world, as what it is right now, it's only a great place.
It's not. It's not even a fun place.
There's things happening around the
world. Yeah. Like, what about South Africa? Like, what's happening in South Africa?
Oh, South Africa is just... Well, what happened in South Africa is their previous president, I think it's Jacob Zuma, I think he got sentenced to jail for 15 months for corruption and, I don't know, allegedly corruption and whatever he did in office and stuff like that. And it's making people rise up. But I personally don't think it's about people rising up because he's going to jail. I think people just found an opportunity to make money and steal shit.
Yeah, nah, but you know, I was watching How to Become a Tyrant. Have you seen the documentary on Netflix?
I've seen a couple. I was actually watching it before I went to the shops this morning.
Yeah,
I was watching the one on Idi Amin.
Idi Amin, yeah. And I just, it's always like history.
Yeah.
Always repeat itself.
Yeah.
So everything that we're doing now, it's happened before. It's things that like we talk about today and it's forgotten tomorrow, and we talk about another day and it's forgotten tomorrow. It's always going to keep happening. There's always going to be selfish people. There's always going to be political people that want to kill people. There's always going to be people that want personal gain for their life. It's going to constantly happen in this world.
Yeah.
I don't want to say let's not talk about it because obviously it needs to be brought and shunned to the world, but we have to look back. Like when I was watching How to Become a Tyrant, I'm like, all these things that are happening now,
it's similar to that.
Similar to that. Nothing has changed. It's something that is constantly happening
there's
in the world.
There's one on Gaddafi. There's one on Idi Amin. There's one
Stalin.
On
Stalin. Yeah. It's just things that constantly happen in the world. And I don't want to tell people, that, hey, get over it. This is happening. Let's get used to it. But I just also feel like we have to understand our history to understand that history does repeat itself.
Of course.
And these stuff are nothing new in this world.
Yeah. But don't you think, obviously, like, those people are bad people and they're doing things for personal gain or whatever they were doing.
I hate broke people telling me money isn't everything. How do you know?
For me personally, I feel like money can buy happiness.
Okay. If money doesn't
nigga,
buy...
Nigga, man, what the fuck? I'm sad. I'm going to buy a new Bugatti tomorrow. You're going to buy happiness,
listen, bro. Listen to this, if money doesn't buy happiness, does being broke afford happiness?
No.
We're both... You're not happy, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have the money in the bank than not be happy. So a lot of time people say money doesn't buy happiness, but what does being broke do? That doesn't do anything either. So we're both in the same boat, man.
Yeah.
But anyways, man, hey, shout out to episode 39. I'm glad we got this shit out of the way. Yeah.
And also, I also want to say, Eddie, thanks a lot for, you know, being part of this journey.
Oh, thank you, man.
You worked hard towards this. And I just want to give
you should put
flowers.
This in the beginning.
I want to give you your flowers, man. You worked hard towards this. And I want you to be recognized. I want you to know that everything you're doing in regards to this podcast of it becoming a successful thing or being a good thing, your input is very appreciated.
Your input is appreciated. Really.
So, like, just put your heart into it and stuff like that. And I keep telling you, man, not every day, but Sunday, man. Maybe some episodes might be nice.
Some
of it might be good, but we aim for greatness.
That's true, but I don't want to go in a mindset of, oh, let's relax today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never want to go into that mindset. If I'm coming here to do a pod, I want to make sure that we've given it our best. Our best might not be 100.
Mm-hmm.
Our best might not be 90.
Mm-hmm.
Our best might not be 80. But our best is our best.
Our best,
and that's what
and you
out.
Always make sure that everyone comes up and be on the
A-game. That's it. That's what I can ask. Your A-game today might be 10. Your A-game tomorrow might be 100.
But
your A-game is your A-game. And that's
exactly
what I would want people to do. And I think the secret to anyone that's starting a podcast or anyone that's doing anything in their life is take people's opinions out of the way.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the only thing I would say to people is, when you take people's opinions out of the way, you don't care about fame. You don't care about people looking at you a certain way. You don't care about how people look. You don't care about anything. All you care about is you building something for it to be successful. So if you can get people's opinion out of the way, when I mean out of the way, I mean, who cares if no one knows you? you're doing something that you want it to be successful. Who cares if people think it's crap? You're doing something that you want it to be successful. You know what I mean? And I also like to shout out to you, Vinny, because I felt like in the beginning, when changes happened in the podcast, I was a bit lazy in the sense that I wanted it to be how it was before so that I don't have to put in as much effort.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to deal with like people like being like, oh, we missed the old chemistry, bring the old chemistry back. I didn't really want that whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But then what I've realized is that's just me being weak in the sense that, so what if we lose listeners because changes have been made, okay? We'll go gain new listeners, you know? So what if people prefer the old episodes, which they don't, but, you know, some people, there might be people that like that. Okay, well, we're going to have new people that listen to this and enjoy it. There's always going to be changes in anything you do in life.
Yeah.
And that will bring new audiences. So we should be focused on the new audience as well as the other people that still love the podcast. Yeah. And that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%. And it's lazy for you to want things in the past based on the fact that it was a comfort zone.
Yeah.
You have to move forward in life and build and for it to be successful.
Life is all about change.
It's all about change. That's it, man. Anyways, we out, man.
Hey, anyways, we out,
39.
Man. 39. Done. 40-something.
I'm so happy with
something.
Done,
don't worry.
Peace out.